You may be looking for brains, but you have found nutty bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chess, and I've got another special episode of Nutty Bites for you. Today, we are going to be talking about cooking shows. That's right. We're going to talk about our favorite cooking shows, not just, like regular Julia Child cooking shows that we grew up with, but fiction and things of that nature and all sorts of different kinds of cooking
food
shows.
Food-related fiction.
Food-related fiction. Yeah, anything that just makes us go, yum. With me today, I have my regular antagonist.
Hi, I'm Chef Tech.
And the Talk Nerdy to Me crew is cooking up with us today. And tell us, chefs, what are your names?
I'm Jen.
I was a little slow in my reaction time there. You know, it's fine. I'm Jason. Hi.
Who's an actual cook?
Sort of.
Grew up in a restaurant, sort of cook.
Army, has been employed post-army.
Okay. Look, when I was growing up in the restaurant, my job mostly was washing dishes and learning.
Okay, so chef adjacent.
And what did you do in the army? Adjacent.
I was technically a cook in the army, but it's a lot of batch cooking. It's not individual stuff, like the stuff that takes skill. This is just, you know, boil it in a bag, yo.
That's true. But you were called the Flying Spoon.
Well, that's because I jumped out of planes.
Yes. Okay. Before we get into the nitty gritty of it, I just want to take a moment and thank all of our patrons and for bringing these episodes to you. And I know it sounds like all of these episodes are with the Talk Nerdy to Me crew. It just so happens that they are as sporadic with planning as we are. And we have a lot in common.
One of them happens to be Big Daddy Warbucks, who
this
happens to be our main patron. So thanks, Daddy. Thanks, Daddy.
As a matter of fact, that was going to be the first thank you. So thank you, Jason, for your $10 level contributions. Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Aurora Lee. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Melissa, the bathtub mermaid. Thank you, Susanna. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Kinsey from Brazilianisms. Thank you, Ian from the Down Below podcast. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Jen from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Shane from the Red Dwarf Introcast. That's right. They're doing new episodes. Thank you, Rich the TT. Thank you, Dagny. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Lynette from the Bicast. And Ken's Kenzoid Autonomous Zone. And thank you, Nick, for your sporadic donations.
Yeah, Nick, you owe us more money, so cough it up. hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
you know the only reason why I did that, right? Because I remember specifically asking you on a previous podcast, you're like, well, if we hit the, I think it was like $25
mark. That's right. Now we're doing two episodes a month, which is a lot of fun, actually. I'm having a blast doing it.
You know what's really sad, though, is I think I've done more podcasts with you than I've done on my own podcast.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Well, you know, you can put any of these episodes into your feed.
These are for your patrons. See, my thing is I work, like, because of my 2-hour commute, I actually do short little 10, 15 minute podcasts just solely. And then
Big Bear on Wheels.
I love that. Yes,
that's a great
Big
name.
Bear on Wheels.
Thank you.
And it should be that same logo. It should be that same logo of like the little bear in glasses, but in a wheelchair.
No, with like the monster truck wheels.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be talking about cooking shows. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this is both Tech and I, and pretty much Jason and Jen, we are big foodies. We love food. We love making food. We love learning about food. I like talking about food.
We don't like eating on podcasts, though.
No, we do not like when people eat on podcasts because it's disgusting and it's horrible to your ears. So instead of eating on the podcast, we're going to talk about food and make you hungry. So let's start.
I got chicken nuggets somewhere.
You're not going to eat them because there's no spoilers in this podcast. So let's talk about our favorite cooking shows. So let's start with a little bit of like, what was your favorite show that had to do with cooking when you were growing up? What was your big food influence visually growing up?
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. That's a hard question.
It really is.
There was one show that I remember watching as a kid, and I cannot remember the name of the show. I'll have to look it up, but it was two very, very large English women, and they came, like the opening credits of every show, they were on like a motorcycle mm-hmm. and sidecar.
Oh, my God, I've seen this show.
And they would drive up, but they were cooking in like a classic kitchen. With like very few tools and very few things, and they were cooking like English style food, and that was sort of my first beyond like the morning chat shows where they would
was it Two Fat Ladies?
I think it was called Two Fat Ladies. Yeah,
that is the best name ever. I remember the show, but I didn't know that was the name. That is awesome.
Yeah, but it was just the idea that you, because other than that, the only cooking shows I remember seeing was like your morning or like your mid-morning chat show where the host would learn to scramble an egg with some celebrity chef and it would turn into a disaster and like a three-alarm fire would break out. And it was watching two incredibly professional chefs make what looked like really good food in a basic kitchen like the one I had at home, not a television set.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that.
Man, I remember watching Two Fat Ladies, but I honestly, I hate to say this and it's terrible, but I used to sit up when Food Network first became a thing. Mm-hmm. I used to stay up until late at night watching Emeril Lagasse. Like I used to stay up so late watching that little dude.
Tech, does that make you feel old? Man. Do you remember when Emeril came out?
Cause
I wasn't a little kid.
I used to watch Emeril. Like the guy definitely had presentation. The guy was a showman. And
he
I loved it.
Like the male version of my aunt Nancy. I kid you not.
Nancy.
What I loved is that when he would add, like, we're just gonna add a splash of wine. Okay, a little more. Okay, a little more. Okay, a little more. And he dumps the whole bottle. That's how I cook. I love that.
Well, that's how it's supposed to go.
Absolutely.
So I was going to be talking my childhood one that I would grow up watching. I remember Julia Child. Oh, yes, hello, look at your souffle. You know, on the TV. But Doug Rapson of the Geek Acres YouTube channel now is in the chat. And he has put a mention in there that it far surpasses Julia Child, and that would be Cookie Monster. That's right. Sesame Street would probably be my biggest cooking influence because, you know, C is for cookie.
That's good enough for me.
It's good enough for me. And he does nothing but appreciate cookies. And by the way, if you're on YouTube.
Anymore.
Oh, he not still anymore. Does. He still does.
But now he
check
does
him out
moderation.
With Tom Hiddleston. That's a great video. There's a great video out there of Cookie Monster and Tom Hiddleston learning the value of
delayed gratification.
And there is a great video that he did with the Bon Appetit channel where they eat cookies from 100 years. And
they go through the cookies of cookies of each decade for the last 100 years. With Cookie Monster, and at the end, he gets the kids to eat cookies the way he does, and it's just the three of them on the stage, just nom 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 nom, throwing cookies everywhere. It is fantastic.
Yeah. And you can't mention Cookie Monster without, of course, then jumping to the Swedish Chef, which
bork bork bork, bork, bork.
Chocolate mousse,
the chocolate on the mousse.
So, Jen, what are the cooking shows that you remember growing up?
I actually didn't have TV growing up, like, until later. So Emeril Lagasse was probably the first cooking show I watched.
Okay, Jen wins because I didn't have cable growing up, but she didn't have TV. So there you go. You win.
That's fun. But you'd look out your window and see the seal harvest. Or window. Yeah. I'm sorry. You'd lift the tent flap and look at the seal harvest going on in the harbor. So...
My younger years, I was actually in a logging camp, so we didn't see a lot of anything.
Right, so you'd lift the tent flap and watch the pine harvest. Flapjacks. I don't.
You'd see the stack of flapjacks and bearded, muscly men.
So, of the traditional cooking shows, what do you guys think are your favorites? The ones that really retain with you, and ones that actually make you want to cook. And I'm talking traditional. They're in a kitchen. You watch them cook.
One that I really liked. Was on Food Network for a long... It might still be on. It was on for a long, long time called License to Grill.
Mm.
And it was just this dude in his backyard with a just a standard barbecue. And he would make entire meals on the barbecue, like up to like grilling lobsters, making like salads and anything short of a soup he would make on this grill. And I don't know, one, it would make me hungry. Two, I like barbecue. Three, not a lot of his stuff involved vegetables, cheeses, or white wine sauces. So it was all accessible to me, the meatitarian carnivore. Hey, it's my life choice. Don't judge me. And there's a lot of the little tips and tricks from that show that I carry on today. Although I have to say that my biggest cooking influence to date has been our co-host, Mr. Jason Banks, who has been indoctrinating me into the ways of Southern cooking slowly and surely.
I'll have to make greens one day and bring them.
No, ew, gross.
But see, here's the deal. See, I know vegetables are terrible because meat is great. But when you take the greens and you put them in a broth of 12-hour cooked ham hock, it becomes amazing.
I'm gonna say something shocking. I'd rather eat chitlins than greens.
Chitlins, by the way, my grandmother used to make amazing chitlins. I'm not gonna lie. They were just amazing.
That's not something I'm down for.
You ate fish heads. I don't want to hear it.
I only eat the cheeks.
I'll eat whole shrimp heads.
I'll have your Chianti with five of them.
Jack says Tech has to try fried okra.
Fried okra?
Yeah.
Yes.
The only problem with fried okra is if you don't get it correct, the inside is like Vaseline. It is the grossest thing.
Oh, that doesn't sound appetizing at all. All right, moving on past that grossness. I think a pretty good one that of the traditional types that I liked was Alton Brown was kind of neat. I enjoyed his kind of no-nonsense attitude. Jamie Oliver, I think.
I've never seen anything from Alton Brown until his new YouTube things where he just gets angry at things. And Jamie Oliver just cried his whole TV show. And now, why don't you people eat healthy? It's like all I ever see from him.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait. I think I'm confusing him. Which one was the budget gourmet going?
Oh, gosh.
The guy that always did stuff on a budget. I like that guy. I thought that was Jamie Oliver.
No, Jamie Oliver's the little English guy used to kill.
Yeah, this guy's English too. Could be a different English guy. I'm racist.
That's Food Network way before they decided to forgo traditional cooking shows.
I think all English guys are the same. Sorry. but yeah, no. Jen, any traditional or is it still Emeril?
It's still Emeril. If we're going traditional and not anything current day, it's still Emeril.
You got to get one of those sweet things out of the freezer.
Well, I love Julia Child. And she has influenced me. My biggest influences from Julia Child, we'll get to later when we talk about movies, and the cookbook that I grew up with, which, by the way, is really expensive and I can't afford one.
Was it Joy of Cooking?
Yes, The Joy of Cooking.
Mm. Can we talk about a new modern classic and cooking show, the one that Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart do together?
What?
That looks great. We haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Isn't it on PBS or is it on Food Network?
It's amazing. Oh, God, I think it's I want to say PBS.
Yeah, it's Martha Stewart. Watch teaching Snoop how to cook.
Watch two ex-cons in a kitchen.
I don't know. Has Snoop gone to jail? Did he actually do time?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know.
He went up on trial for murder. He made a song about it. Went platinum.
I don't know. I don't judge.
Matter of fact, the name of the song was Murder was the case that they gave me.
Was he convicted of murder?
No, he got off, actually.
All right, well, then that's what I'm saying. Has he actually done time?
Snoop Dogg is the only rapper who I know for a fact, who everyone knows for a fact, is a gang member, and no one cares.
Well, that we
and
know.
No one cares.
Yeah, he was a Crip, right?
Mm-hmm. Still wears blue, even to this day. He's got like 7 kids. But now he's cooking on Martha Stewart shows, which I find amazing.
Yes.
The only thing that could have made that show more for people who partake of the green herb is if Willie Nelson and Bill Clinton were in the audience.
I think my favorite is that when he went on The View, he brought his mom and his grandmama into the audience. And there they were in the front row wearing their big Sunday church lady hats. And it was fantastic.
Oh, that brings back terrible memories. Oh, so early mornings. But then again, those early Sunday mornings are how I learned to cook. So,
so I got a question.
Go ahead.
I want to ask. Yeah. Are there any celebrity chefs that you feel you sort of you mentioned Julia Child, of course, but are there any other celebrity chefs that are out there that you find yourself sort of naturally aligning to? You like their cuisine, maybe you like their personal style. Like there's
Gordon
there's
Ramsay.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay, why? Is it just the British butthole thing, the angry, shouty, screaming soccer coach style?
It's the angry get out of my kitchen thing.
it's actually his palate and his food choices, and that he gets offended when people waste food. That's what I like about Gordon Ramsay.
Mm. You know, the crazy thing about Gordon Ramsay is a lot of people don't know is that Gordon Ramsay came up from kind of a crap life. Like I know his brother, I think, has been battling with like addiction, and he like had a really bad relationship with his father, and like,
he was a semi-pro soccer player.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He was a football guy.
Blew out his knee. Yeah.
Blew out his knee, couldn't play, and moved to France and took up cooking, and his career went from there.
What I really like from Gordon Ramsay is not his competition show so much. It's not Kitchen Nightmares. It's Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen, I think, when the one that they produce in the UK where he goes from restaurant to restaurant, sees what's making them fail, and helps
Kitchen
them.
Nightmares. Kitchen Nightmares.
I think it's a different name in the UK, but yeah, the UK version of that, I watched like every episode. And you see how he really cares and he wants to help these people. And when people are unhelpable, like there's this one episode where he's at this restaurant in France and this guy is beyond help and so full of himself. He ends up closing shop because he doesn't want to deal with Gordon. And Gordon ends up taking the sous chef that was at that restaurant because he saw a lot of potential in her. And he brought her to his restaurant and helped her with her career. And that was like, I like that guy.
Dude, Gordon Ramsay, like, I know he's like one of the biggest cooking stars today, mm-hmm. but if you watch, like, if you've noticed, like, people are imitating the living crap out of the shows he started.
Oh, yeah.
Like Kitchen Nightmares, they now do bars, like.
Yeah, Bar yeah. Rescue that was on
Bar
Spike.
Rescue. Yeah. Yeah, like, they do
and
all
that was
these
horrible.
Shows. Yeah, it's real, real bad.
I've been watching his show. It's one of his older ones, but it's the F word. And
yes, that was
it's really good. Like the one thing that really impressed me is that he is during this time raising turkeys, literally to show his kids that food does not come from the supermarket, that food is an actual animal that we eat, and during the show, he's like trying to get women back in the kitchen. And so he's going around like helping people learn how to cook and get back out there and cook real food. Like, but it's stuff like that that shows him so down to earth that impresses me.
Yeah. There's another one that he did. What was it? UK's Best Kitchen or something like that? Or where it was a competition show and there'd be two restaurants each week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of different styles.
Yeah, of different styles. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. It was almost like a March Madness bracket thing that they ended up doing.
All right. Mm-hmm.
It was that show that made Tech go, I could go to that vegetarian Indian place because all of that looks really good.
Oh, yeah, that one Indian restaurant was fantastic. But the idea is that, you know, in Indian cooking, the actual starch or the protein is nothing but a conveyance device for the sauce. So it's beef or broccoli, it doesn't matter.
Cauliflower.
Yeah.
Or goat. Mm, oh.
Goat. Okay, but that's not vegetarian. Man, so now we've kind of slid into the whole competition style.
Right, but let's talk. Are there any other hosts, any other celebrity chefs out there that you align yourself with? Because we just said Gordon Ramsay and then derailed.
That's right, we did.
Like, he didn't have his own show, but I wish he did. I know this other guy did too. There's two. What's his name? Mario Batali. I really liked him. I really liked Mario Batali a lot. He did have his own show, but Morimoto did not. Morimoto did not have his own show, and I liked both of them a lot. I also learned my hatred of another chef because of the same thing, and I'm blending the topics of traditional shows with competition shows because I freaking hate Bobby Flay. Yeah. I want to gut him like a fish.
I don't know who that is.
Good. That's awesome. That is amazing.
Oh. One that I've always liked to get him off the rage train.
Yes.
One that I've always liked was one that we met on a PBS show called Mind of the Chef, which was narrated by Tony Bourdain, which we can talk about later. But the purpose of Mind of the idea behind Mind of a Chef is that every episode they would talk about a different chef or a different influence, and they would go back through this chef's life and see what influenced him to get into that style of cuisine. So there's this guy named Edward Lee. Korean guy, raised in Brooklyn, but is now based out of Louisville, Kentucky. So you've got this amazing fusion of Korean influences on Korean influences, and then the New York style fusion cooking with good old Southern soul food. And you've got a guy
that show you guys talked about that was on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, yep. It's on Netflix, but it's a PBS show. I mean, at one point, the guy's making kimchi with collard greens.
Yeah, it's really good. It starts the first season, you're following David Chang. And then the second season, it's
Edward Lee and a couple others.
Yeah, I don't remember the. I'm trying to think of the Southern boy. I just call him Bubba because he looks like a Bubba. And he goes into this whole thing about seed preservation. And no, talking about like cuisine of the Appalachian Mountains. I mean, like Bubba fits. And I mean it as an honorific. I mean, the guy is amazing. And
well, you know, I did send you guys pictures of
Sean Brock is the name of the Southern
Sean clip. Brock does not sound like a Bubba, right? No, but he is.
But hey, I did send you guys pictures of my bacon seeds.
Yes, yes. You sent us pictures and video of adorable little piggies that we're going to be eating. Thanks. Don't show me my food when it's a baby.
Amazing.
I don't need that.
I just want to let you know that the other pig popped and had six.
Nice.
So more bacon for me to feel guilty about.
So what is there? So there's nine little ones and two big?
There's technically eight bacon piggies, one pet piggy.
Yeah.
The farm
that is getting a pink tutu and a photo shoot next week with professional photographer.
So one's not for food purposes.
The farm that I grew up on for a very short time as a young boy when I lived on my grandparents' farm. That was a hog farm at one time. And there are many, many photos of... Don't worry, cats, you're safe. There are many, many photos of my dad as a young man butchering hogs. Mm-hmm. It's something that... Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that meat comes on a styrofoam tray and saran wrapped. I know where meat comes from. I've hunted and killed and then ate things. And not just fish. I think it's one of these important things. It's almost like a rite of passage that... I think a lot of people forget this, that you need to see where food comes from.
I know where food comes from, and I've been to farms and stuff, but I don't need to make personal relationships with things that I'm going to end up eating.
No. What Jason is doing is called psychological cruelty, yeah. And it's amazing, and although, it's fantastically fun.
I have been criticized for naming my lobsters before cooking them.
You know, so I don't want to hear any complaints when I show you a picture of an adorable pig in a blanket and I tell it how it's going to become a pig in a blanket.
Oh, boy.
Attaboy.
And I'm not sure who this is, but the YouTube name is Leo Legotoy. I don't know. I'm bad at that. But he says rest in pigs.
Absolutely rest in pigs.
Indeed.
So I think one of the other modern chefs, though, that I don't know, like relate to so much, but tech definitely has your palate, would be Anthony Bourdain, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
He's always against salads.
He's against salads. He's against vegans and vegetarians. And he's just this
chain... And he loves hot dogs.
This chain-smoking New Yorker with a gutter palate who is...
Isn't that the guy who does, like, the... Where he'll, like, be, like, on a... He did that one show where he's, like, doing, like, layovers for, like, 8 or 9 hours in a place.
Yeah, that's him.
Yep.
Because that's that dude who went and got a tailored suit for $300 in China. That dude's awesome.
Yeah. He also did, if you've watched Archer, the episode where they're undercover in a restaurant waiting for like the Kazakh ambassador? Or anyway, they're like waiting for some ambassador. But they had Tony Bourdain doing the voice of the celebrity chef, and they're doing a total Hell's Kitchen ripoff. He's also the narrator on PBS Mind of a Chef.
Yep. He wrote Kitchen Confidential, which is the big expose book about you know,
don't buy fish on Monday.
Yeah, don't buy fish on Monday. And what restaurants are really like, which then was turned into a show and was promptly canceled on Fox called Kitchen Confidential.
Well, that's because Fox cancels everything good.
Yes. And apparently it was really good.
Space
and,
Above and Beyond. I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Almost Human.
Firefly. Oh, I had to go there.
Yeah.
Did you just? Oh, I can't say that. You're not an E-rate. You're not explicit. I can't say that one. Mind you, it was on cable TV. It was on. I'm sorry. It was on Fox. So technically, I think I could say that. I think it was like PG.
Anyway, continuing.
Carrying on.
Yeah. So, like, what are some of? For me, at least, I can say though that these modern shows like Mind of a Chef and the different ones of Anthony Bourdain and Gordon Ramsay and all of these things, they have influenced my cooking in a bit because like I started making risotto. I thought risotto was like really, really hard.
Make the perfect risotto.
Right. Yeah. It's totally easy, by the way. And if you're curious, just go to the DNC email leak. There's a great recipe.
didn't you do a lot of cooking on the dog days?
I did, actually. This past year, I did what was called Dinner in a Movie, and I would talk about a movie or a show, and I would pair it with some food, and there was a couple of episodes that I actually cooked while I did it.
That was a show on Showcase, I think, where they would do Dinner in a Movie?
Yes.
Where it was a combination cooking show and...
Yeah, and then they'd watch like
Watch the movie, but they'd actually like cook a dish. Yeah.
And so Geek Acres says Firefly had strawberries, so yeah, that counts. And but yeah, so like I'm making risotto now, and there's lots of little things that we've worked in. Tech, you have perfected your fish and chips batter recipe.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Mind of a Chef, you got into making ramen from scratch, which is amazing.
Yeah,
thanks. I remember your first attempt at that. I remember that.
Yeah, ramen, or as I, or momofuku ramen to be specific, is the world's most complicated chicken soup, and you gotta like a soup that takes 12 hours to make and dirties pretty much every pan, dish, and bowl you've got
and
in
surface,
your kitchen.
And yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's I'm trying to think, like, because. A lot of, honestly, I say this a lot, but I really did like, I think Emeril Lagasse sparked that interest in cooking outside of my family's restaurant. Cause like, I used to take cooking for granted. Like, I didn't think home cooked food was like that hard of a thing or that big of a deal. Cause I grew up around it every day.
Yeah.
Like just over like holiday seasons, like Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, My aunt Nancy would do 1,600 dozen rolls by herself and wouldn't bat an eyelash. Like she would do 80 cakes. She would do, you know, 40 fruit cakes, 40 red velvet, you know, throw in some apple, you know, applesauce cakes. And she would do all these by hand.
Applesauce cakes?
My aunt Dot. Yeah, it's, yeah. Oh, God, they're
that sounds
amazing.
Really good. Really good.
But no, my aunt Dot was in her 70s, almost in her 80s, and she would make homemade fried apple pies, fried sweet potato pies, fried lemon pies. Mm. She'd make lemon meringue from this is one of the things that I am most proud of when it comes to my cooking is that I can make meringue from scratch.
But meringue is like, whipped egg whites, right?
Yes, okay. Whipped egg whites and sugar and lemon juice.
It's delicious.
I like all these things.
All of these things. So Geek Acker says that you need a chef's hat. I think you'd look good in a chef's hat.
I am French, so I will pull that off. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. See, for me growing up, we made everything. Like I grew up making sauce and making soup and stir fries and all sorts of different kinds
of gravy.
When you say gravy, what do you mean?
I mean brown, thick. Okay. Luscious gravy.
Yes, we grew up on making gravy. I'm not.
I like how all three of those words describe Jason: brown, thick, and luscious.
Absolutely. All right, moving on.
I would also like to say that I'm doing that on purpose. You know why I'm doing that on purpose?
He's trying to point out to me that I can do just about everything except gravy.
Oh, well. I'm not that big of a fan of gravy these days, but every now and then there's like, If it's on poutine, it's really good.
You, I'm about to say, you live in Canada where they make the greatest, most bad for you dish ever.
Poutine.
Poutine is like, if okay.
If you don't know, that is fresh cheese curds and thick, rich brown gravy poured over top so the cheese melts into the fries on French fries. Oh my God, so good.
Like, and this is coming from a Southern guy who fries and puts pork with everything.
Right. Where hush puppies are a thing, you look up at poutine and go, my God, I want that.
Now I want hush puppies. Thanks a lot.
Oh my God, can you imagine a poutine like pot pie where the crust is made of hush puppies and the in
this needs to happen.
Okay. I think we're gonna have to put Rich Jefferson on this.
Yes.
Rich. He makes great hush puppies. Get on this.
I need to by the way, his hush puppies were amazing.
Mm-hmm. A hush puppy crust poutine.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. It'd be the greatest pot pie on the planet.
So
that would also make you die as soon as you finish.
And then chocodiles for dessert, because chocodiles.
No. I will make chocolate covered Twinkies. They're so much better than chocodiles, just saying.
Man, by the way, fried Twinkies.
Oh, those are good too.
They're the devil's treat.
Like, but fried anything is really good. But when you say gravy, I had to ask, because I am from New York, and there is some of the population, when you say gravy, you mean sauce.
Hold on, you need to put the accent on when you talk like this, because you're the Yankee and I'm the Southern boy, so you got to put that accent on.
No,
and when they're talking about gravy,
I don't know what accent that was.
One day I'm going to get her to say cab or a car. I'm going to get her to say it.
No, I'm not from Boston.
No, what's really good is when you ask her to talk about water. When it turns into water,
yeah, it's water.
you have reached New York synergy.
All right. Are we done? Are we done mocking me?
I'm gonna have to hear this one day.
Let's get to fictional.
Yeah, so I want to talk about fictional shows. So shows
that
make it awkward are around food and
yeah. Go ahead, make
cooking.
It awkward.
Go
what
ahead,
you got?
Be awkward, but not.
Oh, I've got to talk about food that gives you orgasms.
Oh, we're talking Shokugeki no Soma.
Food Wars, baby. Yeah. So in Japanese, it's called
Shokugeki no Soma.
Shokugeki no Soma. So this is a Dragon Ball Street Fighter style fighting anime show.
But it's Iron Chef.
Right, but it's Iron Chef in a cooking high school where the food is so delicious, your clothes flies off when you taste it. And it sounds weird, and I know it sounds stupid. I recommend everybody watch a couple episodes, especially because every single recipe is developed and vetted by real chefs, and they are real. Now, can you find the real recipe somewhere?
Yes. That's the cool thing about the manga. The actual Japanese manga, they have a featured recipe in every manga.
That'd be awesome, because some of them look really, really good.
Yeah, they do.
Now,
the one he makes in the first episode where he wraps the potato in the bacon and he cooks it and bakes it and they think it's pork, but it's not. Like, that's a real thing. And that was one of the first things they put in the manga. Like, when I read that these are actual real recipes with an actual Michelin starred chef. Just helping you be like, hey, these need to be accurate to this point.
So they had Michelin star chefs as consultants.
No, yeah, like, there's a chef on staff for this manga.
Oh, so all of the techniques are 100% accurate in this. And it's a teen cooking school drama anime.
It's a shonen fight. Like, it's literally like Tech said. It's like DBZ. Like, they power up and cook better food.
You can find it on Crunchyroll, and I'm sure you can find it some other places. It is fantastic. My mouth waters when I watch it, but it is really good, and the drama is very intense. And I remember there was one episode with one of the Aldini brothers. He's on a Iron Chef style competition with somebody, and he's the guy's making the same exact dish as him and showing him up, and he's sitting there going, "What can I do? What can I add at the last minute?" And he's looking around, and I just go, oh, he's just gonna use the limoncello on his cake there,
and knowing that you know Italian cuisine,
And Tex just sitting there going, what? He's going to use what now? What is he doing? And then
what's Lemon Solo?
Yeah. Oh, man. Of course. Then, get you some. It's really good.
Of course, the New Yorker knows Italian cuisine.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I did work in an Italian bakery, by the way.
I will eat almost everything that's on that show, except for that there's that one really crazy goth girl that cooks everything like fermented and rotten.
Yes, and she does it in the cauldron.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And there's that seat.
I had the squid ink noodles recently, and I can't remember where I had it.
Where did you
really
have
good.
That?
Where did we have that?
I would just like to say, I still want to go to Japan and have a squid ink Big Mac with the black bun. I still need that in my life. I still need to try weird things. And it's all because of a certain fellow by the name of Andrew Zimmerman. What's it called?
Bizarre Foods.
Yes. Thank you, Jen. See, this is why you are always around, because I forget things.
I love Bizarre Foods. I'm willing to try almost anything once.
Dude, he had crunchy guinea pig heads once.
That's pretty bizarre.
That fruit that he says he hates.
Yes, we did try that.
What's that called?
The one he can't eat. The one he can't eat.
It's not dengue fruit, right?
Daikin?
No.
Something with a D. Yeah, we know what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, we actually did, like, I found some actual candies from that fruit.
Okay.
Durian.
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 That's
fruit.
Durian.
Yeah.
That's it.
It absolutely smells rotten when you open it, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just the candies, like even mixed with sugar and done all that, was the most disgusting thing I have ever tasted.
Dude, we in Alaska.
But the fruit is supposed to taste really good, even though it smells really bad.
In Alaska.
It's supposed to taste like rotten chocolate.
In Alaska, really? There's a restaurant called, or not restaurant, but it's a store called, was it Green Apple?
Red Apple.
And that's where we found like alligator, and that's where I finally found ham hocks while I was there. Mind you, I've been up there 6 years and couldn't get my ham hocks. I was fiending. That's why I cooked, was it Christmas or Thanksgiving before I left for my squad?
We did Thanksgiving.
I cooked Thanksgiving dinner for my squad. I'm talking about I did the turkey, everything. My ham is amazing, by the way. Pineapple cherry glaze.
Food Wars is amazing.
Feed me. Feed me, Jason.
Moving on. Stop it. Food Wars is awesome. And
pineapple cherry glazed turkey.
It is a food podcast.
And we
there is no way that somebody's not getting hungry.
Absolutely love them. Are there other shows that you can think about? Fictional. I mean, we did mention Kitchen Confidential.
There's a couple of movies I got to mention.
Yes, we're going to get to the movies.
Okay.
First. I've got a movie, but it's not a movie. It's a documentary.
Okay, but we're doing shows first?
I know. Well, I'm sticking to anime because that's what I do.
There you
Yakitate
go.
Japan, baby. Yakitate Japan. You guys probably haven't seen this one. This is about a guy who wants to be, he's a baker, and he wants to make the greatest, most unique bread specifically for Japan ever. And it's, if you guys ever get a chance to talk with PJ Snyder, she loves Yakitate Japan. Me and her had a wonderful conversation about Yakitate Japan, and it's on Crunchyroll right now, and it's great because this guy, the show is based off a pun, which is why I love it, because the show is called Yakitate Japan, and the guy wants to make bread called Japan, which is a pun on the word. Japanese word for bread. And so he makes all these like Japan number one, Japan number two, and they're all these different types of breads that have already been made, you know, baguettes and things like that. And so he goes into these competitions making his Japan number 40 or whatever, when it's really a croissant.
Okay.
And it's really great. And he actually, it's kind of like it's the Food Wars before Food Wars without the boobs. And it's a really fun, great little show. And I'm not going to lie, I learned about a whole bunch of different breads. Like, it's insane that they talk about these different types of breads, and they talk about, you know, like French bread versus Italian bread and all this other stuff. It's a really fun show. And it actually came out in like the late 80s, early 90s.
Great.
And it's super fun. You guys should check it out. The whole thing's on Crunchyroll.
Back on Food Wars, the one thing I will say about this anime that is the first time I've ever been able to pick it up and that everyone needs to watch just for this is they have characters from around the world on this show. Mm-hmm. And it's the I'm watching it subtitled. So I'm hearing it all in Japanese, but it's the first time I've ever been able to pick up Japanese accents.
Yeah, because or people from other countries having an accent when speaking
Because they
Japanese.
Have Italian characters and German characters and British characters and American characters all talking Japanese with distinct accents.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I think that's the most prevalent in the episode where you meet the young lady with the white hair's mother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and exactly.
She has the palate that dissects all food.
Yep.
And when she's talking in Japanese, her Japanese is utterly terrible.
Yeah, it's such an American accent, right?
Yeah. And then as soon as she starts talking about food, it is the most fluent, beautiful, perfect Japanese ever. And they're like, and the best part about that show is the joke is how her accent and her speaking of Japanese changes when she's talking about food or just trying to say hello to somebody. That's it's funny. Pretty great.
I can't really think of too many shows that have cooking in them. But I do want to say that I always liked the character of Suki from Gilmore Girls, but watching that recently, they have no good consultants because like everything in that kitchen is so wrong. It was very upsetting.
So I'll tell you,
Gilmore Girls does not hold up, by the way.
Yes,
there
it
was
does.
It's
just different.
There's a game show that I used to watch as a kid. And if anybody knows this game show, please throw up the name so I can watch more episodes because it's awesome. So what they would do is it was like, first they would ask the kids of a family some trivia questions. Then they would ask the parents some trivia questions. And the final round, what they would do is the kids are in a kitchen.
Is this the one with the amazing Jonathan as the host?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So you've got like brothers and sisters or, you know, you've got like two kids in a kitchen. And you're given a challenge. You have to cook chocolate mousse. Go. But you're not told what it is. These are kids about 10, 11 years old. They're not given a recipe. They're told you have to make this and then it's going to go in the oven at this temperature for this amount of time. So you've got an entire kitchen with all of the ingredients in it, and you have to somehow like bash and create what you think goes into this dish. It then gets baked in the oven. Your parents have to eat it and guess what it is. And if they know what it is, you win the prize.
Dude, I was just watching Carmen Sandiego, Ghost Rider, and Wishbone. I need to get on some of that Canadian TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
Ghost Rider, by the way, there is a very young Julia Stiles playing a hacker.
Yep.
Which is...
with a little nose ring.
Yeah, right. And it's even worse than Hacker the movie, but it's
That's a WNET show. That was filmed in New York.
Hell yeah.
Garden City, man.
So, confession?
Yeah.
I was watching Ghost Rider on PBS with the little floating quotation marks.
And
I kind of liked the show. But my friends at school were talking about Ghost Rider, the Marvel comic. And you're
talking about the spirit that types in a typewriter.
Right. But here's the problem is that to my French brain, being that I had just transitioned from French to English, I couldn't pick up the T to D sound change. So I just thought they were talking about an episode I hadn't seen yet. What do you mean flaming skulls and motorcycles? I haven't Spider-Man? Spider-Man's not in this show yet. I guess I gotta keep watching.
Little techie, so cute. Yeah,
little techie. 11, 12-year-old techie was a bit of an idiot.
You know, I was going to say, Nettie, we forgot to mention when we're talking about competition shows, the greatest competition show ever.
Iron Chef?
Iron Chef.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
I like cuisine.
Bites into your pepper.
By the way, I just want to say right now, what made me want to vomit was when I seen him bite into an onion. Oh my God.
Why? It's delicious. You know, you can take just like some white onion, cut it up, dip it in ketchup, and it's so good.
That's gross.
Now,
delicious.
What I loved was that Iron Chef, when they did Iron Chef America, it was his nephew was the host.
But
he would hold up the green pepper and then switch hands and hold up an onion and bite in, or hold up an apple and bite into the apple.
Yeah.
But that's because that's Mark Dacascos. And man, he was also Mark, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Mark Dacascos who was in Jaws 3D.
I have no idea.
Yeah, needless to say, he's done some really bad American martial arts movies that you need to watch.
So we're going to move on. We're going to move on to movies because there's quite a few movies that I want to talk about.
Right. So I want to talk about one.
Okay, go ahead.
In particular, it's the one we watched last night. Speaking of food movies, because we were looking for something dumb and stupid and we wanted to laugh. And it ended up being food related because we watched Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, so boy. You, really?
Really? Exactly. Bad. But the whole time, it's that it was such a marketing ploy because every time they mentioned, I want to eat those delicious burgers with the little onions that just burst in your mouth and the pickles that are fried. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I just had like 39 of those delicious burgers. And it was an ad the whole time for White Castle. But it's food related, and it's a stupid movie that I enjoy watching because I needed to watch a stupid stoner comedy.
Yeah, but it's bad food.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, it's horrible.
I'm sure the fast food fans are going to be like screaming at me.
But
right
even Tony Bourdain says that he hates all of fast food except White Castle because that stuff's awesome.
Whoa! See, I'm a Southern boy. We don't have White Castle down here.
Do you have Castle Burgers?
No, we have Crystals.
Crystal? Well, I've not heard of this
one. Yes, you do have crystals. Get it right.
Okay.
Crystals. Now, I will say if you want to do the deep
sorry,
stuff.
In the chat, Jax, White Castle, bah, crystals is where it's at.
Yeah!
Attaboy, Jax.
Yeah!
Southern represent.
Wait, would my family's restaurant count as fast food?
I don't know. Was it fast? Probably not.
No, because she had a sign in the she had a sign that she had from the day she opened to the day she closed, sitting above the front counter so everybody can see it. That says "Sit down and shut up."
Sit down and shut up. I like that. So I've never actually eaten White Castle, and so everybody can yell at me saying that I don't know what I'm talking about because I've never had it. But I can tell you, I've cleaned up after people were sick from White Castle, which is why I will never eat White Castle.
Well, that's because drunk people think it's delivery.
It wasn't drunk people. It wasn't drunk people. It was kids. And so I could never bring myself to eat White Castle. But I had a boss who is very into food. And every Sunday, he just wanted White Castle. And what that meant was one of his employees had to drive a half hour to the closest White Castle because there's only like two on all of Long Island and one in Queens, I think. It might be less now. So yeah, that movie is pretty on point with, you know, almost no White Castles. But I would never eat it. And every time I'm just like, nope.
You know what?
Nope.
I know you're gonna probably have to edit this, but someone should have kicked your boss in the balls.
But like, we'd go for sushi, we'd go for all these crazy elegant cuisines, Christmas time, he would have a different restaurant cater lunch for everybody the week before Christmas because we were a big retailer and we were constantly sending packages out.
That doesn't make up for him sending somebody 30 minutes for White Castle.
Everybody else ate it. I was the only one abstaining. I was like, no, you people are crazy. But
it looks like kid puke. No,
I just can't. I can't bring myself to do it. So another big cooking movie that I want to talk about, and honestly, you can watch it and just fast forward all the modern day parts, is Julie and Julia. And this is a movie where this woman trying to put her life together decides every single day for a year she's going to cook a recipe from The Joy of Cooking. And it is flashing between her life and her struggles and Julia Child's life as she learned to cook, as she was writing the cookbook and everything else.
That's Meryl Streep as Julia Child, right?
Yes, and Meryl Streep as Julia Child is amazing.
You mean the worst actress ever?
No. And Stanley Tucci plays her husband, which is kind of funny because it'll be important in the next movie I talk about. But it is so fantastic and so good. But I learned more about cooking from watching that than I did from watching Julia Child when I was a kid. Because Julia Child, when I was a kid, it was so complicated. I could never do any of those things. But in that movie,
like a master of French cuisine.
Yeah.
Like,
but in that movie, like I picked up so many little tricks, like, you know, the stupidest trick, but I never had learned it before, of drying your meat before preparing it. You know, that you have to towel off all of the moisture before you do anything with your meat. And it makes such a difference. And it's so stupid, you know?
I always little tricks. Towel off my meat before doing anything with it.
Oh, boy. little things about mayo, you know, making
isn't
mayo
that right,
and butter
Jason?
And stop. Working with yeast and things of that nature. And it's a fantastic movie. For that part alone, the modern day stuff, I just kind of want to smack her because she's just a whiny crybaby, in my opinion. I mean, I couldn't relate to her, but I love the Julia Child side of it, and that was fantastic. And I will rewatch it and just fast forward through the other parts.
See, I have, I want to talk about it's a documentary, but I guess if documentaries can get Oscars, so I guess they're considered movies. So
yes.
Mind you, we're not
they're
gonna
not
talk
fiction,
about,
but that's okay.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about the dichotomy of the Academy because that means I'll have to talk about this film. It's not yet rated, which is one of the greatest documentaries of all time. But no, I want to talk about one called Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's about the only Michelin starred, or I should say, he's got the most Michelin stars out of any sushi chef in Japan. And he's this like 90-year-old man who's been working with sushi since like World War II era Japan. And his own children, like this dude is so structured and so focused on his craft that they consider his focus on sushi to be part of Bushido.
Oh yeah.
And anybody who studied martial arts, they understand that when you say that something is Bushido. And he even puts his children through the ringer. Like his one son after a certain point just said, you know what, Dad, I'm going to go make my own restaurant. And his dad let him do it because he said he believed that his youngest son could start his own restaurant. And he did. And he's up there in quality with his dad. But people tell him straight up, like, your sushi's good, but it's not your dad's. Like, yeah. we're not shortchanging you. But when you're a guy who spent the last, you know, 60 years honing a craft, doing the same thing every day and every other part of that job, to picking the fish, getting the rice, you know, preparing the eggs for the breakfast sushi, like all of that, you do the exact same thing and you just hone it every day for 60 years. It's utterly exquisite, which is why his restaurant has like a 3-month waiting list.
This Japanese idea of Budo, of devoting yourself to one thing and being as the best you possibly can be at that one thing, is amazing because it lends it, you know, it started off in warfare, but it lends itself to cooking and other disciplines. Even board games like Go or things like calligraphy, flower arranging, tea ceremony are all Budo because all about devoting yourself to one thing. And last week I was beat up by an 8th-degree black belt, a guy named Robert Mustard.
I was going to say, I love how you describe that. I was beat up.
I got the crap kicked out of me by an 8th-degree black belt in Yoshinkan Aikido, a guy named Robert Mustard.
And you love it, don't you, you sadist?
I loved every second of it.
I got to grab his butt.
She did grab his butt.
And got beat up by him, too.
Right. I thought she was talking about your butt.
No, not my butt. No, because at one point he was talking about how all of our power in Yoshinkan Aikido comes from below the waist, and it's very important to use your leg muscles and your hips. And we were having problems understanding this one move, and what he was explaining was that it all had to do with the back foot and that it was pushing off the back foot. And he's been practicing this for 40 years. He's 60 years old. So he goes, here, come here, you. And he grabs a nutty, and he brings her up to the front, and he goes, grab this. Grab, come on, grab. And he puts her hand on his butt, and he flexes, and he gets into our stance called Kamae. And he gets into Kamae, and he goes, what do you feel?
It was rock hard.
It was rock hard. He goes, yep, there's no such thing as a tofu butt in Aikido. Nope. It's all hard butt. No tofu butts here.
I would have died. By the way, I would like to say I need to have him and like the nearest stereotypical gunny Marine sergeant having a conversation. I need him going, tofu. There's no such thing as a tofu butt. And then having the guy, the gunny from
Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket being like, you gosh darn right, there's no such thing.
See, what you're looking for, he passed away a couple of years ago, is actually a mesh of the two, and his name was Amos Parker. And I believe he was a Ninth Dawn?
Yeah, so a man by the name of Amos Parker, a big, giant Southern Texas black man, was a petty officer in the Navy stationed to Japan, started studying Yoshinkan Aikido, and stayed stationed in Japan for his whole 30-something year career.
Lucky.
And then stayed there, and is the only person, he was the first non-Japanese granted the rank of master instructor. He was the first, and so far the only non-Japanese to be given the rank of ninth degree black belt in Yoshinkan. He passed away a few years ago. Very sad. We've lost a legend, but he retired as a chief petty officer in the U.S. Navy, and him teaching, he would just, it was like a drill instructor the whole time. And he goes,
careful. Can't quote him.
No, I'm going to give the good story. the good story.
I need to ring this tangent bell.
This guy goes ahead and does a technique and just, that's a nice technique. Not the one I taught you, but that's a nice technique. Why don't you do the one I taught you?
All right. So we're moving on because tangent.
Jirojima Sushi is probably one of the best food documentaries I've ever seen. And it highlights the fact that when you, it's not the sushi.
It highlights when you love what you're doing, exactly. And you love food.
Absolutely.
You make amazing things.
And it highlights the fact that it's not the food itself that is the star. Mm-hmm. If you shortchange another aspect, it'll ruin the food. Yeah. So when you pick the fish, when you pick the rice, when you pick the vinegar you use, all of it has to be focused and as best as you can get it. And one of the things I always highlight when I talk about the documentary is a guy who's like in his like 40s. He's like, no, I'm sorry. He's in like his late 20s, early 30s. And he says, yeah, I've been here training for the last 10 years and they finally said that my breakfast sushi eggs were acceptable. Not that they were good, that they were acceptable. And he was super proud of this. Like he was crying when he was telling the documentarian about this.
Right.
And it highlights the fact that when it comes to food preparation, food ingredients, and just the focus and the study and the technique behind food, it's all a part of it. Like you can't shortchange a single bit of it. And that's one thing that, you know, people like Julia Childs, Gordon Ramsay, Emeril Lagasse, love him or hate him, you know, Bobby Flay, those people all have one thing in common: their focus, their determination, and their utter just encapsulation in the idea and the concept that is just food. It's very Budo.
There's another movie that I wanted to talk about, and I tried to watch it this weekend but had some difficulty, that pretty much has the same idea. And it's called The Ramen Girl with Brittany Murphy. Now, I haven't watched the whole movie. I started to watch it, and the only one that I could get was dubbed in Japanese, subtitled in Japanese. So during the Japanese speaking parts, there was no English subtitles. And there's so much in Japanese that I was completely lost, and I couldn't watch it, unfortunately. But I've seen a couple of scenes that were subtitled,
one of the last movies she made, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. But it is about the idea of dedicating yourself to making the perfect bowl of soup. That, you know, dedicating your entire life to this, and you know, he would show her how to do it and she'd follow the technique and he'd throw it away and say it's no good, and you know, she would be confused. It's like, you're not putting your spirit in there, you're not really dedicating yourself, you're just going through the motions. And so it seemed really interesting, but I didn't get a chance to really watch it fully. So, but I've heard good things about it, and I've seen a couple good scenes.
Speaking of,
yes,
we have to mention another movie.
Mm-hmm.
The dishonorable mention. So 1999, Sarah Michelle Gellar came out with a movie called Simply Irresistible.
You know the name of the movie?
I did. I looked it up.
Oh. No, no.
So she is the her mom owned a very famous restaurant. Mom passes away, leaves it to Sarah Michelle Gellar. Sarah Michelle Gellar is trying to do the best of it and is failing. And the whole thing starts to come apart at the seams.
Except like to say Sarah Michelle Gellar would have killed someone in this movie. Like her cooking preparation. Woof.
Terrible. Yes.
Right, and but it's due to the magical influence of her mom, which takes the which is a magical crab, because her mom's spirit has infested this crab in the kitchen that is making magical dishes that everybody thinks is amazing. Wait, we'd all be dead of, I don't know, typhus at this point. Or
the idea is that she's putting, like, I like the concept that she's putting her emotions that she's feeling into the dish. So when she's feeling love, everybody who eats it is in love. And when she's angry, if you eat the dish, it makes you angry.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact that it's full of botulism.
Yes, it's exactly. Terrible. And there's this crab just sitting on the counter in the kitchen.
Right, there's that one three-week-old crab that's been sitting on the counter the whole time.
That's her mom.
And the first question you ask is that dead?
No, that's my mom.
Cool. It's so bad. It's such a bad movie. But there's another good movie that a lot of people, it's one of these cult classics, and it's called Big Night. And it's Stanley Tucci and Tony Shalhoub are Italian brothers that have moved to.
So the host from The Hunger Games and Monk.
Yes. Or Julia Child's husband and Monk.
The 37th annual Hunger Games.
Anyway, they are brothers and they have moved to the Jersey Shore. Tucci. And their business is struggling because it's the 1960s.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Italian from Italy.
Totally Shalhoub.
Yeah.
And Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
On the Jersey Shore.
Oh, Jesus. I need to see this movie.
It's quite good. And pretty much everybody that's in it is somebody now or was marginally somebody then and became bigger. Like I can't remember her name, but that really awesome lady from The West Wing's in it. Minnie Driver's in it. Mark Anthony plays the sous chef. Yeah, that Mark Anthony that was married to J-Lo and had a bad music career. That guy is in it. Man. But so
you
they're
are
taking
making this movie fodder for me. Like,
they're taking fine Italian cuisine and trying to sell it to 1960s Americans who are completely confused and have no idea what anything is. It starts out where this woman orders a risotto, not having a clue what it is, and then is disappointed that it didn't come with a side of spaghetti and meatballs. So when Stanley Tucci, who runs the restaurant, goes in the back to Tony Shalhoub, who is the cook, and asks him to make her spaghetti, He just like goes crazy. He's like, what? She wants spaghetti on the side? Should I make her potato for the other side? And it's really awesome because all of the food that they prepare, they had a big time chef there as the consultant. So everything that they do is on point. Everything that they make is completely on point. And it is fantastic. It's really good. I watched it this week and I adored it.
I still can't get past the fact that it's Stanley Tucci, him and his perfect white teeth, and
you know he's had like a whole career before Hunger Games.
I know, but the thing is, the only thing that could have made that worse with Tony Shalhoub, Stanley Tucci, is if what's his name, Kingston was in it,
or Sean Kingston? No.
We
hate him for many reasons.
Oh God, what's his name? Not Kingston. It's not last name. Kingston.
Where's he playing?
He was in.
This is great radio.
Oh yeah. No!
So let's move on.
My superpower is failing.
Right.
You
so
know?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is there a food that is in your wheelhouse, which is something that you should like, or that you will like if you try it, but you absolutely will not? And I'll give you an idea. I am a meatitarian. It's okay. My life choice. I will eat pretty much most meat. Seafood, not kind of my thing. But there is a thing from Iceland called hákarl. Hákarl is Greenland shark. Greenland shark is
Why should that be in your wheelhouse?
Because I eat meat.
Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley. That has nothing to do with Kingston. You shush. The Mandarin?
Yes, the only way that movie could be even more amazing to my palate for cinematic masochism
is if the Mandarin was there.
Is if it was Tony Shalhoub, Ben Kingsley, and Stanley Tucci.
Right.
Okay.
So there is a thing called Hakarl,
yes,
which is Greenland shark. So this is a very deep living shark, and I guess in order to survive at the deep depths, it has this engorged liver, and the meat is full of ammonia. So they use long lines to catch this shark from like thousands of feet below the waves. And when they bring it up to the surface, the fish is gutted and then dried. And the meat is then dried and then buried for a year to allow the ammonia to leach out of the meat so that it's non-lethal. It doesn't taste good. It still doesn't taste good at this point. It just won't effing kill you. And so, they then eat it. And there's a great video game called EVE Online. It's in Iceland, where their headquarters are in Reykjavik. And when you go to the convention they hold every year, they do this pub crawl where it's all the Hakarl you can eat.
Okay.
Yeah. No, thanks. No. I'm cool.
Don't understand how this is going to be in your wheelhouse.
Right. No, because I will try most meat. I even the seafood that I don't like, I've tried most of it and tried it and decided I don't like it. I enjoy the flesh of animals. I'm not trying this.
Okay. Come on, Jen. Why don't you talk about it? You know you've had some.
What?
The rotted shark meat.
Oh. I haven't had rotted shark meat. Yeah. I've had actual shark meat, like fresh caught, fried up. But I've never had rotted.
Is that an aphrodisiac? Because Asian cinema and the Wachowski brothers, and makes me believe that shark fin soup.
Off topic. So
right. Like, so what's in your wheelhouse that you just don't like? as I derail this and bring
I'm
it back.
Sure I would like it, but I do not eat veal.
Veal?
Yeah, I don't. I
after seeing like how they do it, I could never eat veal. Yeah.
I don't eat veal. I love cows. Let them grow up, but I'm not eating veal. And and if you're making veal dishes and you want a different flavor than cow, emu is a great meat.
Emu is awesome
for veal dishes.
Right.
On that same note, we have an ostrich farm near the farm. And ostrich is delicious.
Absolutely. Ostrich is good. Emu is better.
I want an ostrich egg omelet, by the way, because I have eaten duck egg omelets,
mm-hmm.
and they are some of the most velvety, delicious omelets I have ever had. I know there's probably some baker out there crying and weeping that I took a duck egg and mixed it with bacon and cheese and mushrooms.
So, Jason, what won't you eat?
There's a lot, actually, surprisingly, there's a lot of things.
So give us just one.
Is there anything in Southern cuisine? Because Southern cooking is your wheelhouse. Is there anything in, like, something that you should like that you absolutely do not?
Honestly, I don't count these. I don't eat them now, but I did when I was a kid because kids are stupid and will believe whatever our parents tell us. I used to eat chitlins, hog maws, and stuff like that. And I won't eat them now.
What is hog maws?
The jowls, the face.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
It is.
Yeah, it's jowl
good.
Bacon. It's amazing.
But one of the things I won't eat now, and I've never really liked, and I don't like them to this day. I don't know if it's a weird phobia from me being a kid. I won't eat strawberries.
Really?
Like, I'll eat strawberry flavored things. But I will not eat strawberries because I don't know what it is. I won't eat coconut either. It's not the
coconut.
It's not the taste. It's the consistency. I just can't deal with
it. Consistency of coconut.
You know, for me, the same thing is onion.
Yeah, he loves the flavor of onion.
Like onion salt on things,
yes,
or like
yes.
Very, very fine onion ground into other things. But
onion is a wonderful flavor, but it as a thing.
No,
to
it's
eat,
gross.
Gross. Yeah. It's terrible.
People are crazy. Yeah. So, Jen. What's in your wheelhouse that you do not eat?
Stink eggs.
Okay.
That seems relatively narrow in scope.
You're not. It's not.
I will try anything once. Mm-hmm. I have tried alligator. However, I made it, didn't know what I was doing, so I didn't like it. But I will try it again if somebody else makes it.
Alligator made gourmet style, really good.
And yeah, she looks
see,
at me.
I'll try it one time.
So what stink is a stink egg?
Is something that I grew up with. And actually, Andrew Zimmerman went to my hometown in Cake, Alaska and had these.
And he couldn't eat them.
He couldn't eat them. They are a delicacy amongst the elders and some of the younger kids that could do it.
Is it Inuit, right? Is it Inuit?
No, or it's not just Inuit. It's Tlingit and Haida.
Tlingit and Haida, okay.
Yeah. But what it is salmon eggs. I love salmon eggs. Mm-hmm. I like them.
Yeah.
I like salmon egg caviar. I love cooked
herring
salmon
eggs. Are gross. They pop in your
mouth. I have those in my freezer.
Makes me want to vomit.
But
so you take the eggs and then do.
Eggs are actual put into a jar, put a cloth over it in the ring, but not the lid, and they are left to ferment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fermented fish eggs. Oh. It is as disgusting as it sounds.
Yeah.
But yet she will eat that.
I will not eat them.
But she'll eat herring eggs.
Oh, God.
And herring eggs popping. Herring eggs. Imagine caviar.
You eat the roe on sushi.
That pops in your mouth. That pops in your mouth like Pop Rocks.
That looks really gross. We're looking at pictures of stink eggs, and they look really gross.
Stink eggs.
No, that's stink eggs, but that's stink eggs on 1,000-year-old eggs. So that's stink eggs poured on top of like fermented hard-boiled eggs.
It's
for that double eggy fermented goodness.
No, okay. So
a boiled egg, delicious, by the way. That's great bar food right there, boy.
There's the what was it that they did with the at the ramen place we went to? They had this. It was like a seasoned egg. The egg that they put in my ramen. It was
it a fresh. Was it a fresh egg?
No, it was it was like a poached egg put on top of the ramen.
It was like it was like hard boiled or soft boiled egg.
Thing.
But the everything was like black.
That's another thing that I will say that is utterly disgusting.
Oh my God, it was good.
Poached eggs.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I cannot deal with egg parts that are runny.
What about those,
I can't I cannot
duck eggs
eat
that the Filipinos eat?
Which ones?
Those duck eggs that are like they're fertilized egg and they're
looking at a picture of that.
No. That's rule number 2. And this is where I have a problem with all you seafood eating people. I won't eat anything with a face. I will cut the face off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you eat lots of things with faces.
Yeah, no, I cut the face off. That's fine. I will eat the flesh of things, but hey, here's a whole little baby thing in an egg. Go ahead and eat it whole. Yeah, no, I'm cool.
What is that called? Is it, it's,
I don't know.
Oh, God, what is that called?
What?
I have no idea.
There is something worse, Google. Something that no one should ever try. In Sweden.
No, we already talked about Hakarl. We don't need to talk about Sir Stroman.
Yeah, Sir Stroman.
Everybody knows it's wrong.
No, we would never eat it. So there's a thing called Sir Stroman. This is a thing from Sweden. So what they do is they take white fish and they ferment it. And it is illegal to open it outside. Because it smells. Yeah, in Sweden, it's illegal to open it outside because the smell will waft to your neighbors and they'll hate you forever. It is
balut.
Just.
Balut. That is what it's called. It's
That's
balut. The duck egg.
No thanks.
So, yeah, Sir Stroman fermented stuff that's gone bad and spoiled.
So
not
I
good.
Think we've all pretty much decided that fermented anything is
pretty
just
much.
Not
no,
okay.
Except fermented rye grain, which I'm drinking right now. Fermented rye is delicious.
Fermented hops, fermented barley, fermented
so
yeast.
So before we wrap up, we are getting way off topic here, guys. Before we wrap up, I just want any shout outs, honorable mentions. And in this section, I really want to just throw out there podcasts or YouTube channels that you absolutely love.
About food, I'm assuming?
Yeah. I would hope.
I'll give a shout out to the Bon Appetit kids.
Awesome.
For the episode that they did with Cookie Monster. And
they're good in all their episodes.
I may need to watch more of that because they did such a good job with him that...
They're these little kids and they try all sorts of different foods from different times and eras and countries. And you get these honest reactions. It's almost like kids react to technology except with food. And it is fantastic. I could watch that all day.
Cookies.
Jen?
I pass on this one.
Okay.
Back to me.
Jason?
No, the Bon Appetit kids. I like the Bon Appetit kids. I do. But I'm going to go from something that's like not like a YouTube thing. It's not and it's more mainstream, but I miss this show
and it's Alton Brown's the show he did called Good Eats.
Yep.
I miss that show so much. I was just watching it yesterday.
My niece made the clam chowder from it. It was really good.
And that thing is, I loved about the show is because it was very complicated. It talked about the science of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, it was never anything super hard. Like, yeah, you might make a mistake and mess it up, but you could make almost everything you did on Good Eats.
Yeah, it was approachable.
Yeah, and I really like Alton Brown. Like, if yeah. Gordon Ramsay is my number one, Alton Brown's like my point seven eight. Like, he's the side chick. Alton Brown's a side chick. Like, I when Gordon Ramsay's around, I don't speak to him, but when Gordon Ramsay's not around, I'm like, hey baby, how's it going?
So for me, I've got to promote the Eat Tech. This podcast. With Jeremy Chirfis, who I was hoping to have on tonight's episode, but unfortunately he is sleeping.
Because he's in Rome.
Yes.
In the land of olive oil and grapes.
Well, actually, he does this whole episode. One of the episodes he did was about the water in Rome, and it is fascinating. But I first discovered him during Dog Days, I think it was 2015, where he went through the history of chicken in the food industry and how it changed from like the 1950s to modern day. Because if you look at it, chicken is drastically cheaper today for us, for consumers to buy, than it was in the 1950s, and the farmers are actually making less. So there's a lot of complicated history there, and it's really fascinating. But
it's super cheaper for me because I walk outside, yes, and I break its neck and I eat it.
Yeah, not everybody has chickens and the will to break
their necks.
Yeah,
but then you gotta shave the whole thing. And
oh, dude, I've got a machine with an engine that plucks chickens. It is amazing.
Okay, so he goes through bread, he goes through beer, he did a whole episode about butter. It is fantastic if you like food.
I just want to put other things in the machine and see what happens.
EatThisPodcast.com, I think it is. Go check it out. It is really fascinating. If you are into food, you are going to love it. And it helps that he has a delightful accent.
And not deranged like us and just talking about random food bits.
No. Actually, he recently did a really good episode that is about the SNAP program in the States. And there's a healthy eating guide that's supposed to, you know, prove that you can live off of what the SNAP program gives you and all of the complexities of that and the realistic outcome of that. It is really good.
It has to be.
Say again?
I'm a Southerner. It has to be. I'm a Southerner. It has to be fried in some sort of animal fat.
So anyway, anything else that we want to throw out there? Podcasts, YouTube channels. I think I know one Jason wants to talk about.
Mm.
What?
I think you want to talk about Tasty.
Man, Tasty and what's the other one?
Describe Tasty for someone who doesn't know anything about it, because I'm clueless.
It's Tasty is a poutine pot pie with a Josh Puppy crust.
Tasty are these quick, like, minute videos of people making food, and they show you the whole process really quickly, and at the end it's done, they cut it, and you hear that, that's good, yeah, at the end. And you saw the Terry Crews one for when he made his, what did Terry Crews make?
I just want to say,
Terry Crews made mac and cheese.
Yeah, he made mac and cheesy.
Mac and cheesy, that's it.
Can I just say we need more Terry Crews in our, yes, life?
Everybody needs more Terry
Crews. He's got a new show on Netflix.
Yes, he does.
It's the
Ultimate Beastmaster.
Yeah, it's not produced cooking. By Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Stallone.
Sly. Yeah, it's horrible.
So really Tasty bad. Videos, those are always fun. I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with them because sometimes they show like really good stuff, and then other times it's, oh, take these pre-processed foods, smash them together, and wow, it's put cheese on top. Yum. And it's like, oh, that's terrible. What are you doing?
Well, sometimes we want to kill ourselves in the most delicious way.
No, but sometimes they show bad cooking and sometimes they show good cooking. Another one I want to talk about, which I just absolutely love, is I think it's called Facts. It's the Irish People Try Things videos. I am addicted to those.
I had to look this up just from the name alone.
It's really good, and it's a bunch of very very delightful Irish people,
very Irish,
with Irish accents,
like brethren.
Huh?
Like Breathin.
Yeah. And there's one whole episode devoted to Irish names and people that can't pronounce them. But it then goes on to them trying American snacks and American things and Canadian things and British things and Irish things. And it's just, you're just watching their reactions because their accents are hilarious. And
their reactions are so funny.
Right. Oh, and
by the way, I know I probably just sat out of left field, but
oh boy.
Vegemite is disgusting.
It is known.
I have recently discovered what Vegemite is.
It's gross. It is the worst.
It's a paste made of fermented yeast.
With salt.
We
with
already salt. Said fermented anything unless it's gross. Booze.
Unless it's grain. If it's a fermented grain, it is delicious. And I will have fermented grain, or I will amend fruit.
Yeast,
because
yeah.
Because if you take dates and ferment them, you make a thing called rum. And it's delicious.
And honey can be fermented, you know, mead.
Oh yeah, absolutely, mead, so yes.
Indeed. The Serial Killer is in the chat, and he says, I have spent entire days watching Leather Jacket Man ranting about cabbage. Facts is awesome. Yes, he wants to add cabbage to everything.
Oh, I make a fantastic fried cabbage with sausage. Mike's set fried cabbage.
Is there anything else we want to throw out there?
You were comparing your fried cabbage to my Brussels sprouts tonight.
Ooh,
you
know what? I love me some Brussels sprouts.
You know, we gross. Can do this.
Is there anything else that you guys want to throw out there?
Sometimes fermented foods, including alcohol, are very bad.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This has been Nutty Bites. It's gone a little crazy, but please let us know, what are your favorite cooking shows, fiction and non? You will find out how to contact us at the end of the show when you hear the Creative Commons license. And thank you so much. Is there anything that everybody wants to pimp today? Jason?
Yes, actually, I would. I don't do this normally, but I need to get better at that because I'm not. That's my one flaw.
So far, you're stinking at it because you haven't mentioned a website yet.
Exactly.
You can always find us on our website at talknerdytomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdytome. And of course, you can find us on the Twitter at nerdytomepodcast.
Upside down and flying.tumblr.com, where you can find all of my thoughts, where I try to learn Aikido the hard way. And coming to you soon, I've now recorded 2 episodes of the upside down and flying. Podcast.
Join us for the Bicast, a podcast by and for the bisexual community.
We discuss and give voice to all of us under the big umbrella, bringing you information, news, entertainment, and support for all.
You can find us at thebicast.org, at the Bicast on Twitter, the Bicast on Tumblr, and Bicast in iTunes. Visit the Bicast page on Facebook and see how you can join the Facebook group.
And remember, you're not wrong, and you are not broken, and you are not alone.
So pull up your favorite comfy chair and relax.
And remember, everybody gets a cookie.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-NUTTY42.
I know 2 of the podcasts that I'm going to do for anime track and Baltzcon are going to be Nutty Bites Live Ghibli Cast, mm-hmm. and the other one's going to be a Ruby one if you're down.
Yeah, I'm down.
So I know that I don't have to worry about people being on those because that'll be us. The rest of them will just be basically whoever, except for the Yuri on Ice panel, because Queer Fudanshi is coming, and he did an episode-by-episode review of it, because he does, like, LGBTQ, like, themes and media and stuff.
Cool.
So
you going to get Hugh on that one?
Yeah, of course. Why would I not get my adorable gay man Hugh, who's bringing cookies?
Hopefully. All right. We're going to go live?
Indeed, we can go live. I got wine. I got...
Clicking the button.
Why do I have to go get you beer?
Jason.
Hello. Stop. Hello, YouTube. We are late, and the mea culpas will come from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast for making us wait.
The steak was so good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Steak, wine, and potatoes.
Oh, cool. We got Doug Rapson in the chat there. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Awesome.
I don't know Doug, but hi, Doug.
You know what? I think Doug stopped coming to Balticon around the time that you started going. Doug is old school podcaster. Awesome. Awesome dude. All right. So we're going to be talking about cooking shows. And unfortunately, my other guest that I was going to have tonight, it's 3 a.m. there. So he's sleeping. He's in Rome. So blah, blah, blah.
La-di-da.
La-di-da.
I would love to go to Rome, get some good grapes, get some wine going.
Yeah, right.
Rome is awesome.
All right. We're going to be talking about cooking shows. And we're not just... All right, Tech, you need to like scooch into the camera.
I need to just...
People
want to see your lovely face.
No, yes. You don't.
That's what people are tuning in for.
No, they're not. I look like a cross between a spider and your worst nightmare. I am not the face of this podcast.
Mm.
Are you secretly wearing your plague doctor outfit?
that's an improvement. I do that to be socially accepted.
Hey, Doug, what's your YouTube channel so I can pimp it? Doug says he's been YouTubing these days, so that's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
He had this short-lived podcast, by the way, not that long ago, that I really dug. Anyway, Agents of Plastic, and he has a line that I use all the time. Good toys don't deserve to be in plastic prisons. Of course, it's Geek Acres, like his podcast. Awesome. So if you are a fan of the Geek Acres podcast, you can tune into YouTube Geek Acres, which I haven't seen a single episode of. I'll have to check that out. And if you haven't listened to the podcast, tune in anyway, because he's geeky and awesome. Okay, so we're about to start this thing. Remember, no swearing. You swear, you make me edit, and I get angry at you. Don't.
So I guess I should just warn you now. I'm already two glasses of wine in, and
well,
wine is
you better control yourself. You better control yourself.
That's okay. I'm two glasses of rye in, so we're good to go.
And I'm sick, so yay! All right, which is why this voice sounds so Cody. All right, going to introduce. You are horrible.
What about if I catch a crow? What if I take a crow and put it in? What would happen?
You will be eating crow pie. That's what's going to happen.
Well, my thing is, if it's small enough, it'll just go...
So...
I need to hear that sound. I want to record that as Foley. I want to hear the... as a cat comes out the other end of this chicken machine.
No, you don't. You would cry if you put a cat in there. So, getting back to the topic. We'd all cry.
You know, Balticon is right around the corner. We can do this.
Yeah, but we don't really have a kitchen. There's no good way to cook a
hush puppy poutine pie. Hush puppy poutine pie.
We're at the podcaster house, so we actually do have a kitchen.
Okay, so another note that needs to happen right now because I'm in a great mood is...
A.K.A. he's drunk.
A.K.A. I'm amazing. So immediately following after this will be a Nutty Bites After Dark episode if the serial killer is still there because I need to keep recording because this is too much fun and Nutty is horrible company when I'm feeling this awesome and I need more people. So yay, more people. Jax,
if you're
still there...
what you're going to say?
More episodes to come following this. Carry on.
That's what you had to say and interrupt. All right, all this is getting edited out. So right. Is there any...
Taco.
Doesn't mean you can do it on YouTube either. Jeez.
There's three people watching.
I hate you. I hate you so much. All right. Since I can't moderate my own show...
I love you, Daddy, I do. But that was amazing.
And let us know what kind of
what foods do you
sorry the serial killer just said I tried to yell taco there. I really did. It didn't work. For those not in the know, all of my dubs for when people curse are the serial killer. When it's taco, it's serial killer saying taco.
And we just put out an episode talking about 50 Shades Darker. And we find out some dark and seedy things about my co-host, like her lust and passion for daytime soap operas. So check in and find out where I make fun of her for it.
What lust and passion?
You don't explain to us why you like them. Why do you like them, Jen?
Jen didn't say she liked them.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
No, she didn't.
You want to bet?
She did not.
I didn't.
She said her friend liked them.
No. You know, you watched them, remember?
This is great radio.
I know.
They thought I derailed the podcast, and yet they go on to a, yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
For more of that, you can go to talknerdytomepodcast.com.
Absolutely.
Zach, is there anything you want to plug?
I'm hurt. My heart is broken.
Why is your heart broken?
Because normally the gag is I say that we need to get you recording it. But I was not involved. My heart's broken.
Well,
no one was involved. He went for a walk and recorded.
I went for a walk and recorded on the microphone.
It's like Big Bear on wheels.
So you abandoned Nutty and me.
Yep.
What the hell?
I abandoned you all.